Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Ready for the word? Okay, I'll give it to you then. All right. In Colossians, Paul is writing to the people of Colossae, and he really is starting out this book talking to them about how he's heard of and encouraged by their faith and their love for people, like what God is doing in and through them and how they are living. Like, hey, I'm encouraged. Like, you guys, you've come to know God and you are living for him, and it's amazing to see. And he's like saying he's sorry because he hasn't actually been able to be with them, but he wants to encourage them. And so he comes to this place here in chapter 1 where he's talking to them about endurance and patience and like how they're going to make it through. And I was thinking about that. I was like, man, he's like talking about how good they are, you know, and I'm thinking about us, like we as God's people, you know, our church or Christians really in general, it's like I'm doing good, but there's also a lot of stuff going on in and outside of my life, right? Inside the church and outside the church. There's a lot of things that are happening, and that's kind of what he is encouraging them in. In Colossians 2, 4, verse 4 and 5, it says, I'm telling you this. So he's kind of goes through chapter 1 and then comes into chapter 2 and is telling them even more. But he says in verse 4, I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments, for though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. He's saying, I'm telling you this so that you won't be deceived, that you won't be moved off the foundation that you are standing on right now. He's like, I really believe that we all need to be encouraged. And I've talked to a number of people over the past couple of weeks, you know, just talking about whether it's stuff that's going on in the world or stuff that's going on in our lives. How God wants to use us and to not just think somebody else is going to do it, but then also to not get discouraged because of the things that are happening in our lives, personally or outside of our lives in the world, and that we need to be encouraged. I don't hate encouragement, do you? And this is what Paul's doing. So I just feel that God just wanting us to hear this and say, be encouraged. I know who you are. I know what's happening. And I know what I want to do. That's what God says. Can you trust me? Can you seek after me? So Paul is telling him, he's like, don't be swindled by the traditions of men or these basic principles of the world. It says, be led by Christ, be strengthened by him, be comforted by him. See him. Focus on him. Don't focus on these situations or these things that are happening. So in chapter 1, Colossians 1, verse 11, I'm going to read this part and then kind of break it out. It says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So Paul prays here. He's talking to these Colossians, these people, And he says, look, I'm so grateful to see who you are and that God is moving in you. What he says in the previous verse is that you love people, that you have this faith that you have. But I'm going to tell you that I'm praying real hard for you guys. I'm praying for you that you would have this endurance and patience. And then he takes it, breaks it out. He says, because of this darkness, because we do have to deal with these things. But what he says is, but God rescued you from that darkness. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But he's rescued us from that kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. It's interesting in here where he says, there's this little phrase he says, may you be filled with joy. And before it, he's saying, he's praying so you will have all the endurance and the patience that you need. May you be filled with joy. And then it cuts to chapter to verse 12, and then it says, always thanking the Father. But really that, there's a comma there. It says, may you be filled with joy, comma, always thanking the Father. And really this, may you be filled with joy, whether it goes with what's after it or before, it actually goes with both. May you be filled with joy as you're always thanking the Father. Or may you be filled with joy as he is giving you, as we're praying for you, that you will have endurance and patience and be filled with joy. But there's something here that he's speaking. He's saying, listen, there's joy in the presence of God. There's freedom. There's being. There's not this in the kingdom of darkness. There's this sadness. There's this gloominess, this depression. It's pushing you down. But he says, with God, but you've been rescued out of that. And he's going to give you this endurance and patience. He's going to help you to understand what's going on so you can walk through these things. And in that, there is going to be joy. How do you see somebody that's going through something and filled with joy? It's because they're not in it alone. They're not dealing with some situation all by themselves and just looking at the situation. No, it doesn't matter what it is. They're just there. It's like, man, I'm with God. I could be in a pit. I could be up high on a mountaintop. It don't matter. I'm with God. He's here. I've been rescued. It doesn't look like you're rescued. I'm rescued. I'm in this cage, but I'm right. You see these stories in the Bible. They're in a prison. They're in all these places singing, glorifying God. You're like, yeah, I do that too, you know, and who knows? Unless we're put in that moment. But that's I want to be in the place where I am understanding the things that they understood so that no matter what, I get put in a pit, I get put in prison, I get put wherever. Hopefully I don't get put in prison. I don't think I'm doing anything that I need to be put in prison, but you know, you never know. Not bad things. I'm saying you never know with the way that you know. Amen. Never know. But that we understand these things so that I can say yes. See, they were going through, you know, these conflicts, the stuff in the world around them, the persecution, the even things going on in the church, the depraved moral state of the world in their day. It was depraved. And it is that way for us today. But what can we do to not be in that state, but not only that, but not be just sad and in a funk and not knowing what to do? How? But realize, you've been rescued. See, we're not talking about, it's like this kingdom of darkness anymore. We're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light and of joy and of freedom. She says, I pray for you that you be strengthened, have endurance, patience, that you make it through this stuff. I see the stuff that's going on in the world. You see the stuff that's going on in the world. I see the stuff that's going on in my life. Now, right now, I mean, there's some pretty difficult things. There's some things that really are just like, goodness gracious. Like, I have a son that's gotten married, and it's, whew, you know, that whole transition. Kids that are teenagers, you know, one that's living in Hawaii right now, and, you know, it's like, you know, it must be nice for her, but it's not that easy for us. You know, I'm like, it's like, there's all this stuff that can take us to this place of just like looking at the stuff that's happening. But what he's saying here, saying that's not what you should be focusing on. Focus on him and that he has rescued you. Always thanking the Father, filled with joy. Endure and have patience. How can we do this? How can we have joy and thankful hearts and endure these days, you know? Because, you know, it's just like these, you don't know the days that we're in. It's like, you know what's funny? I'll give you a little inside story here is that for a while, Pastor Tori and I, like, we'd be like, man, this is just like this has been a week. This has been a stressful week. Man, there's just been so much going on. And you know what we realized is that we were saying that every week. We're like, wait a second. Hold on a second. I've said that for like the past 52 weeks. There's something that has to change here. And it's not the fact that, you know, yes, there were some weeks that were like just stuff. But really, the real deal was is that we have to understand and know that there's always going to be, you know, every week, you know, is going to have stuff. It's going to be full. It's going to have difficult things. It's going to have great things. It's going to, all these things. But how is, you know, how's your heart? Yeah. Where is your heart focused? Who are you focused on? Were you focused on all the stuff that I'm so busy or that it's so hard or it's so whatever? Or are we focused on the fact that we've been rescued? That this world or this week is not going to control me because I'm led not by this week, I'm led by God. In verse 12, Colossians 1:12, always thanking the Father. How do we do this? He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. How can we have this? How can we be in this place of joy and rest or have patience and endurance through these different things or through what's going on in the world? You know, and like I said, we say that, they said that in this time that they were going through. They said it every time that you know what I'm saying? Like you end up saying like, oh, it's worse than it's ever been. Really? I mean, I didn't go through the Black Plague. I didn't go through, you know, I can't even list everything. But you know what I'm saying. But how do we walk in this joy in this place? So I understand. Say, listen. Thank the Father. Being thankful because, you know why? He's enabled you. He's enabled you to share in the inheritance. You have an inheritance. What's been given? You've been given your inheritance. The inheritance that belongs to his people. And that's an inheritance of who he is. That's an inheritance of his light, right? Like, I can be in any dark place, and there's his light there. If I understand what he's done for me. You are able to be in any dark place. And it's not dark. Because you are bringing not just yourself. You're bringing his kingdom. The inheritance that he's given you. That kingdom of light. In verse 13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. See, we've been rescued. We've already been rescued. You know, like, I done been rescued. I don't have to be rescued again. Like, God, rescue me. He's like, I already did that. I did that. God, just rescue me out of this situation or this hard thing or this whatever. Done. Actually, a long time ago. You know, it's like, you've been rescued. Sometimes, like, it's just that switch of our mindset or our understanding of who he is. And what he's done for us, that I don't have to even ask to be rescued. I just have to ask him for more understanding of what he has already done and what I have, what you have. Don't ask to be rescued. Ask him to explain to you more of who he has created you to be. Ask him to explain to you more of who he is in you and what he can do through you and in you. Oh, I don't know about you, but that just changes things. He said, I rescued you. What you need to do is to understand more of what I have actually already done, who I am. Who I've created you to be and what I want to do in you. In verse 14, well, it says he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. How has he transferred us into this? We've been rescued, been transferred. When we come to, if we know him as our Lord and Savior, if we are in this place with him that we should be, when we open our lives to him and say, God, I need you, and I need you in my life. I need you to be my Lord and my Savior, and I need to walk with you. I need you to guide me. I don't want to walk alone. I don't want to do it myself. I need you. He says, that then you're rescued. You've been rescued. You've been transferred now into the kingdom. And how he does that, verse 14. It says, who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sin. In other translations, it says, who purchased with his blood our freedom. He purchased our freedom with himself, dying on the cross for our sins, giving of himself. That's how we can, I don't know. I don't even know if I can get through all this, but it's like this, just he's building thing after thing. Like, when we understand that we've been rescued, that the reason or how we've been rescued is because of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. Saying, look, just keep digging deeper. Understand that you've been rescued. Understand, not that just that you've been rescued, but understand who rescued you and how he did it, that he gave himself, that him, Christ, gave himself for you. Not so that you could suffer. I'm not saying there's not suffering. What I'm saying is not saying that, like, I don't have to live like I'm suffering. Because in those moments, whenever, you know, I was talking about that, we said, oh, it's just been a week, you know, it's been tough, it's been stressful, it's been whatever. I was living in suffering. I was allowing myself to be in this place, and we do that, to be in this place where we kind of take all these things and, like, I'm holding them. No, he says, you're not the one that has to hold these things. See, what I've done is I've taken that stuff to the cross. Whether it's the sin and the shame, whether it's just those burdens, whether it's the heaviness, the things even that we have to walk through that are good for us, whatever, I can turn that into living in a, you know, poor me, or I can say, God, I am walking with you. And yes, this might be a little tough to walk through, but you are helping me carry this burden, and I'm going to walk through it with strength and endurance. So it goes from this, and he gives us this picture of Christ, and really in studying this, like, we don't know exactly where this came from. It's not like a quote from the Old Testament, and it says, you know, some believe that it's a like a poem or a song written in the first century church. But it's so powerful, and he uses it to kind of give us a picture of what we need to understand and what we need to focus on to see Christ, to see what he's done, so that we can walk in freedom, so that we can walk in strength, so that we can walk with endurance. What does endurance mean? It means you can get all the way where you're going and not stop, not be knocked down. So in Colossians 1:15, I think I'll just read this again and then try to break it out, if I can do that in a short time. Colossians 1:15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in earth and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Wow. He made peace with everything. You're like, well, wait, I don't see peace everywhere. He made peace possible. His peace brought into the world. And all this will be fulfilled, and all this will be done at some point, but right now, what we need to do is live in. See, whenever it says that, then it inheritance of the kingdom, like we may only see and feel or understand just partially what that is right now until we can be in that kingdom with him. But can I understand that heaven is on earth? That can you understand that heaven is here with us? That's what he's telling us. That when we walk around, that we're bringing heaven with us. He says, walk in that strength, walk in that endurance. A couple of things in this. In verse 15 and 16, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme. What does that mean? Supreme. The first, the head, the best. He's supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in heaven, in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things we can see and things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and unseen worlds. He made. Can we see that he even made? He made everything. See, I think sometimes we don't allow this to get into our understanding where all these things, even you're like, God, why is this stuff happening? And I can't go through every story in the Bible, but we see all these things like this, what's happening right now in our world, where it's like, God, why is this happening? And it's happening. And he tells them, he says, do you not think that I didn't allow this to happen so that I could do my will? Do you think that I didn't allow this to happen in your life so that I could bring you to a place that you are right with me, so that you are strengthened, so that you know how I can move and what I can do? And you're like, He is the creator of heavens and the earth and everything in it. And no matter what it is that we can point to, I can tell you that he will. See, the enemy thinks that he's got this plan, right? His plan was to kill Jesus. And God said, ha ha, funny. Not your plan. It's not going to do what you think it's going to do. But over and over, that's what the enemy does. He's like, I'm going to twist this. I'm going to do this, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be whatever, all this stuff. And God says, hey, ha-ha, I actually have the master plan. I actually am supreme over all. And I know how this is going to end. I may not. You may not know how this is going to end. But he does. I just want to trust him. I just want to, it's one of those times when it talks about rest, you know, and I always overemphasize this. Like, it's not sitting around. Resting in him is not sitting around. Resting in him is saying, I'm here in the mess, but I'm at peace. I'm good. I'm in the prison, but I'm singing and praising. I'm in the persecution, but I'm happy and praising God. I'm in this, and I'm at rest. Verse 16, Colossians 1:16. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms through Christ. He's giving us this like picture. He's saying, see this. See Christ. Understand who he is. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. All things were created through and for him. No matter what it is, it's going to accomplish his purpose. Can I trust? Can we trust and rest in him? Verse 17, Colossians 1:17. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. See, it's not like Christ came around. That's what he's trying to say. He's like, look, understand. It's not like, oh man, things are going a little crazy. Maybe, you know, it's like the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, they're just up there and they're like, hey, you know, maybe we should do something. You know, no. It says he existed before anything else. And he holds, not only that, he is the one that holds all creation together. He is holding us together. He's holding everything in this world together. That the world that we live in was spoken out of him. He is the one that brought it into existence, and we. He says, see me. Trust me. See what I've done for you. See that you've been rescued. And that I'm holding all this together, that I have a plan, that I know what's going to happen. Trust me. In verse 18, Colossians 1, 18, Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme, over all who rise from the dead. So he is first. He goes on, he comes now to the church because he's talking to this church, he's talking to our church, and he's saying, listen, in the church, just remember, he goes on to talk about not being deceived from inside the church or deceived from outside the church. By men or by people that are coming in with all their weird stuff. Claiming that it's God. But he says he's the head of the church and he has a plan. And he wants the church to be the church, but he wants us to know that he is first. Are we putting him first? Is he supreme in our lives? Because he's God. Verse 19, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. What does that mean? It's like God in all his fullness was pleased to live. He was pleased to bring himself to this place with us, to live in flesh and blood, so that we could be a part, so that we could be adopted, so that we could be rescued and brought into his kingdom. He was pleased. Not only, it wasn't like, okay, we got to do this, but it pleased him to send Christ to live fully God, fully man, flesh and blood. It pleased him to do this for us. So he tells us, he says, I'm so encouraged. I feel like I want to say this to you, right? Like giving my paraphrase of what is being said in this scripture, and to end with this. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful to see the faith and the love that you have. That you are living in. I'm so thankful, and I'm so much in prayer that you would understand and know who God is and what he's done in you, and so that you can have the endurance and the strength and the courage and the will to walk through whatever situation or whatever thing is going on in your life or in the world, to not live in this anymore, this kingdom of darkness, right? But in the kingdom of God, in his light. That my prayer for you is that you would come to an understanding that you have already been rescued. You have already been taken out of that mess. You have already been strengthened. You've already been. That we don't have to, no matter where, you know, yeah, the stuff's there, it's around, but we don't have to live in that mentality. That we can live. I can walk through each and every day. You can walk. That you can walk through each and every day. Not living in what the day has, but living in what God has. Not living in darkness, but living in the light of who He is. Because He is light. That we can wake up and understand that what Christ has done for us, that God was pleased to send Him to us, that He could live and die for us, taking the sin, the shame, taking the weight, taking the what the world can give, and He took that to the cross for us so that we don't have to live in the darkness anymore but can live in His light. Because He was God, He is God, always will be God. And He knows what's happening and what's going to happen. And He says, trust me and live where I am. I know what's going to happen. I know the plans that I have for you and the world. I know where we need to go. Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.